Probably. Okay, so here's a new recording. So at this time, the moderator will come with a verdict of the presbytery.
Okay, we elected Brother Jimmy Nelson as our clerk. Would you mind reading our results to the church and our recommendation to the church?
The presbytery visited all the answers and were well pleased with all the answers that Brother Joey gave. And unanimously, we have voted to recommend to the church that they call for his ordination.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, remember, that's our recommendation. Now, Brother Joe is going to come up here and ask you what you desire to do.
So then, at this time, based on the recommendation of the presbytery, I would entertain a motion from the church to continue in calling me as pastor and continue with the service and the laying on of hands. So, is there a motion? There's a motion.
I knew that it was the church that accept the recommendation of the body here.
The motion is to say all in favor of the church. Any opposed? None opposed.
Amen.
The motion is passed. So let's see here. It looks like at this time the presbytery will lay hands on the candidates, what the note says.
If you want to stand up to witness this or have to move around, that's good. I'm going to start it and we'll just go this way.
Okay.
And after you lay hands on Brother Joseph, sign the certificate.
Father, there's going to be times we get so discouraged. Oh, that we might rejoice in you. When anybody sees him and his wife, but they'll see a picture of Jesus and how Jesus Christ loved his church.
we ask you that we praise you for coming to this church and with this Lord, that you might strengthen him, that you might help him, care for him, protect him, heavenly Spirit, that you might strengthen him, that you might fill him with the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you might lead and be led and guided him to do those things which are well pleasing to you. Strengthen him for this church. Lord, we give you the praise that we ask in Christ. Dear Lord, as I come to you at this hour, Lord, we do come with grateful hearts. And we thank you for the moment, for the hour. Lord, for that matter, Lord, here is thy servant. We pray, Lord God, that you use him for your glory and for your honor. Bless him, dear God. Watch over and protect him. Bless his family. Dear God, we pray that you use him here at this church. There will be many souls that will be saved by your grace through the ministry, Lord, as you have called this young man. And Lord, you have given him the message, and he has the messages. Do we pray, Lord, for him? Lead and direct him. Care for all of his needs, Lord God. And we thank you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Lord, let's pray for this man. Lord, you are each man. Lead this flock, Lord. We just pray that you give him knowledge, Lord, that you give him wisdom. Lord, that he ever grown. Lord, we pray that you give him a heart of love and compassion for those who have chosen him to shepherd, Lord. His family shepherd. Lord, we just thank you so much for Brother John. Lord, we pray you strengthen him, Lord, that things may go well. Lord, every time when he can be burdened for things, Lord, just pray that you'll give him all the answers. Lord, we just thank you so much for your love for him and the people that you put up with. Lord, we just pray that this church will grow according to your will. Lord, not looking for big numbers, not looking for small numbers, but Lord, just those that you see us and you give this way. Lord, we just love you. Thank you for Brother Joy, Lord. Pray that he'll be forever blessed in ministry. Amen.
Church's pastor to stand up here to pulpit, and I believe the church has a gift they'd like to give.
Bible says, presented to Joseph A. Newell by the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Silsby, Texas. It says, Elder Joseph A. Newell on the front.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a wide margin Bible. It's very nice.
King James.
It does say King James on it.
Okay.
Yes, it does. Thank you, church, for this. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And here is your certificate. Later, if you want to give a picture of this, get some pictures here and handing that to, so you can put that in your folder.
Yeah.
And this will conclude our part. We have two sermons.
Amen.
And going to be good sermons. It'll be some good preaching concerning the pastor and the church. And turn it back over to you, Pastor.
Let me move some of these trip hazards out of the way here. So at this time, I'd like to ask Brother Nate Hilly. Sometimes the charge is written or is given by two different folks, but I asked Brother Nate to come and preach a charge to the church, and Brother Doug Neal IV to preach a charge to the candidate, to me. So Brother Nate, please come and let him have it. This isn't going to bother you here.
Nope. It's an honor to be here, and I mean that, in the highest regard of that. Here is a pamphlet with some thoughts by Brother Short that is going to go along the line with one of the points I have. So I printed those off to bring here today. It's really been an honor. I've known Joey for a number of years. I've stayed in his house. He is very hospitable, and we've had a wonderful time and to know his wife and kids. And Brother Sullivan, I just want to tell you, I'm in Plant City, Florida, and he didn't think to ask me to come either because he didn't think I'd come this far. So don't feel bad you didn't get invited either. But then when he did, and then he came down a couple weeks ago and preached, and he said something about me preaching the charge to the church, and I said, I am? He goes, I didn't tell you? He says, yeah. You've been assigned that for about a month now. And so the Lord blessed and provided, and we're able to be here. So we thank the Lord for it. And go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. I've been assigned the task of preaching the charge to the church. And I want to read just one verse in verse 18. This is not my charge. This is the charge of the head of this church, Jesus Christ. And what Christ has to say and what we're going to read and bring out this morning of your duties toward your pastor have been true since this church was organized for every one of your pastors. And it'll be true for every church here, for all of their pastors. And so everything that we have to say is applicable. Applicable to the church I pastored in Kansas, and it's applicable to the church that I currently pastor in Florida. And this has been true since the Lord organized His church and laid it out for Him. It's nothing new. And so again, this is not my charge to you. It comes from the head of this church, Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, it says, "And He," referring to Jesus, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." So that is the basis. That is the grounds from which we preach this charge or issue it. It comes not from me, but from the head of this church. It comes from the highest and holiest place. It comes from the Lord Himself. And so as we declare these things to you, you cannot say, well, that's the way Brother Hilly thinks it ought to be done. Or that's the way the presbytery thinks it ought to be done. No, this is the way that Jesus said it is to be done. This is what He has charged you with to do to, for, and with your pastor. And the great thing is that regardless of who the pastor is, this is what you do. It comes from He who has all power, all authority in heaven and earth. It comes from He who is the builder of His ecclesia or my church. And this being His church and the Lord Jesus being sovereign over it and all the many years that it has been established and it has been given the office of a bishop to minister to her in spiritual things, He has given you a charge to tend to. And one day this church will stand before Him and give an account of how well you took this charge and performed it. Just as your pastor will one day stand before Him and give an account of how well he discharged his duty as pastor. Amen. They are both equally serious and equally important. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, we read Colossians 1 to show that this is the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, we find that the Bible speaks of the gift that God has given. And it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers," or pastor teachers is one office. The Lord Jesus Christ has not just given the office, but He has also given you the man to fulfill that office. And He should be looked on as He who has been given by the Lord. And that word "gave" there, "and He gave," is the same "gave" in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." It's the same word. "And He has bestowed upon you a pastor in grace and mercy and love for His church to carry out the work of a bishop, of an overseer, of a pastor of this church." God has set up His church for a purpose, and He has the office of a bishop for a purpose. And now, in grace and in love, He has bestowed upon you one to fulfill that office. And so these things, or principles, or charge that we're going to preach to you, you have to understand, you've been given a gift that you do not deserve. That is how churches of the Lord must look on not just the office, but the man who fills the office. If he is a gift of sovereign love and grace unto His church. That is the high place of the pastor as well as the office. Paul wrote in one of his epistles that he magnified his office. And that's what we seek to do. It is a high and holy office. It is not to be treated as if it is just something that anybody can fulfill, because it is not. God fits men, and He puts them in it, and they are to be tended to in God's ordained way. The Bible says in Revelation 1 and verse 20, it says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands," or candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, or the messengers, or the pastors of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks, or lampstands, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. You understand here that Jesus said unto John that the seven stars are the angels, or the messengers, or the pastors, and they are in my hand. Your pastor is in the hand of Jesus Christ. And you need to treat him in the way that God dictates from His word. You need to follow him and do what God says, because he's in the hand of God. And if you don't treat him right, you might end up hitting God's hand instead of the pastor.
Yeah.
So this charge, as we said, is not a new charge. It is as old as the Lord's church, as the office of a bishop. It has been in place here in Silsby since it was first organized. And it will remain until the Lord removes the lampstand here, which we trust will be when He comes again and takes us home. Now, the first thing I'd like to present to this church, their duty, if you'll turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read in verse 13. The first thing is that we charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you receive God's word from Him. That you receive it. Paul wrote unto the church at Thessalonica in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." See, when Paul and those that were with him came to Thessalonica and they preached and taught God's word, they didn't say, "Well, this is Paul's doctrine," or "This is Paul's gospel." This is man's teaching. And then when the next preachers came in, they said, well, we don't have to listen to him either because that's what he believes. And you know, that's what Brother Hilly believes. And that's what Brother Newell believes. And the other Brother Newell and Brother Dobson, Brother Nelson, Brother Wilson, Brother Sullivan. No, they accepted it. They received it rather as it truly was the Word of God. And that is what you must do. When your pastor stands before you and has rightly divided the word of truth, whether you agree with it or not, you must receive it. Just as these here at Thessalonica did. And if he appears to be preaching strange and foreign things, then I recommend you be as the Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily whether or not those things were so. The Bible tells us that it is the work of the pastor to labor in word and doctrine. And I am assured that your pastor will. And because he has labored in word and doctrine, because he's labored in the word and to teach you that very word, I highly recommend that you follow Christ's orders and receive the word of labor and of doctrine that he brings. Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, that you believe it, you receive it, and that you lodge it in your hearts that you will not sin against your Savior. The purpose of receiving the Word of God is that God would be glorified, that you would be edified, and that lost sinners would be brought to Christ. And without a reception of God's Word, as the Bible also states in Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it is, that there must be a mixture of faith with God's Word. And so how do we receive it? We believe it. We take God at His Word. When line upon line and precept upon precept is preached and declared, we swallow it whole. And we just take it in. This is one of the problems in our days. It was the same as in Amos' day when the Bible says that there would be a famine of hearing the Word of God. We look round about us in the world there in Caldwell and now in Plant City, and it seems as if there's a famine of preaching. There's all manner of gospels, all manner of the teaching of the Word of God. But in many of the Lord's churches, there is a famine of hearing the Word of God. You have been given a pastor, and you have been given one who preaches and teaches. We just heard his questions. You just voted and said, this is the man we want. Now you have to receive what he says. It's a fool's errand to call a man to come and pastor and then reject what he preaches.
Yeah.
And shame on any church that does it. Your bishop has been charged with feeding the flock of God, with feeding the church of God, over which the Holy Spirit has made him an overseer. Acts 20:28. And so as he feeds, as he presents spiritual food, don't leave it on the plate. Don't leave it there and say, well, I'm going to have to think about it. And then when it gets cold, say, well, it was cold and it should have been hot. That's your own fault for not eating it. You must receive His Word. Doesn't matter if it's not a subject you like. It doesn't matter if He doesn't preach or if He does preach the same subject over and over again. You have to receive the Word of God. That is your duty. Secondly, if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you have many duties, church. Just as many duties as your pastor has. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, as Paul wrote unto the church at Corinth, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so the Lord Jesus charges His churches to follow their own pastor. The word pastor or the name pastor literally means shepherd. And what is it that shepherds do? Well, they lead a flock, don't they? And so you have called Him to pastor, which means you have called Him to lead you in the things of God. And so as He leads the church, He has the authority to lead the church. It's right there in the name. He has the authority to tell the church or recommend to the church, even as James did in the business meeting in Acts 15. He says, here's my sentence. Here's my recommendation. And again, if you're not going to follow his leadership, what'd you call him for? Why did you ask him to come and pastor? Because you didn't ask him to come and preach 3 or 4 times a week. You called him to come pastor this church, to lead the church. And so the Scripture tells us, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So you have the obligation and the duty, as long as he is following the Lord Jesus, to follow him. And when he departs from thus saith the Lord, that's when you cannot follow him. And that's it. As long as he is leading the church in a biblical, scriptural fashion, you ought to be voting yes every time. The Bible tells us, if you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and I know that some of these concepts that are here in God's Word that people don't understand, and I've talked to folks and talked to Baptist churches and say, well, you know, we have a democratic form of government. No, you don't. You have a theocratic form of government. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And everything is to be done under his rulership and his leadership.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not up to this church. In government, you have three forms or three branches of government: judicial, legislative, and executive. Jesus Christ is all three.
That's right.
This church is executive. You don't get to make your own rules, and you don't get to judge whether or not this is right or that's right, or this is wrong or that's wrong. God's laid it all out for you. Your responsibility is to execute God's Word. And part of that is submitting to the leadership of your pastor. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, Peter says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is where we get the term under shepherd from. Because there's a chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every pastor of the Lord's churches, they are under him. And so the Lord leads his churches through his word, by the Holy Spirit, through the under shepherd in what they are to do. And so it is your responsibility to follow his leadership as he follows the Lord. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And you know, it's a tremendous thing, and many people today have seemingly lost their minds when it comes to serving God in and through His church. You know, the Bible has very specific things that it says, and they're not to be argued with. And here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God. Did you hear what we just said? Your pastor has the rule over you. And you are to remember them who have such. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. I don't know how to make it any clearer than that a church is supposed to follow the leadership of the Lord through their pastor.
That's right.
Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. I mean, I'm sure you've had, this is Texas, right? And, you know, all the things with law enforcement and all the people that get shot throughout our nation, and you just want to yell through the TV, just put your hands up and do what the cop tells you to do, right? Because they're watching for your body. They're trying to make sure everything's safe. He's watching over your soul, which is far, far better or different than your body. Why would you not submit and obey Him who has the rule over you, who is watching for your soul? And then He says, "For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." I believe every pastor is going to stand by every church or church member one day at the judgment seat of Christ and say, "Great church member. Great church member. Terrible church member. Was a problem, opposed everything, didn't do anything within the church, didn't help with any ministerial work where we went and preached, opposed everything that we ever did that was biblical." That's going to be unprofitable for you when you don't submit to the leadership of the Lord through the pastor. It's not going to be unprofitable for him. It's going to be unprofitable for you. This is the charge that Christ has given to His churches. So you need to follow the leadership of the Lord through Him. Thirdly, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And notice, if you would, verse 17 and 18. And that is that you need to support Him. It is the duty of this church to support her pastor financially. And I realize this is not a very popular thing today. And I will tell you that as there are 1,000 wrong ideas that people have about supporting the pastor. But God's Word tells us exactly how to do it. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." You have an obligation to support his ministry. You have called him, and he has the same needs as you do. He has a wife, and he has 3 children. And the Bible declares in His Word that Jesus Christ would have you to support your pastor and to support his ministry. Wherever God would have him to be. I had never dreamed that I would ever go to Peru. But I am, Lord willing. And the church in Florida has called me, and it is their obligation and duty to support my ministry. If it's God, if it's just for me to preach and stay there in Plant City and do local evangelism, or if it's to go preach at a Bible conference, or if it's to go preach at this Bible conference, or if it's to go down into South America or over to Europe, if God would see fit for me to receive a Macedonian call to go over there and to preach God's Word, it is the church's duty to support His ministry. And God will enable you to do that. If you walk by faith and not by sight. You have called him and God has ordained. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'll read here, beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. He is to be supported in such a way that he and his family can make a living as pastor. Brother Dodson told me years ago, the old adage used to be, "Lord, you keep him humble and we'll keep him hungry." That is not biblical. And churches ought to be ashamed of themselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power, or have we not authority to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord in Cephas? Or I only in Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time in his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Again, these are rhetorical questions that Paul is writing. Clearly God takes care of the oxen. Verse 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, for the minister's sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal or physical things? No, it's not. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. God has sovereignly ordained that this church, through the taking up of tithes and offerings, should support her pastor. That's it. And it has worked for 2,000 years. And it'll work until the Lord comes back. He is to be supported in such a way that he and his family make a living. The office of a bishop is full-time work.
That's right, yeah.
There is no such thing as a part-time pastor. Not the Lord's churches. And while he may need to work secularly, and I've done it, and I think probably every brother here has at some point, worked secularly and pastored a church, it is substandard. It is not the best. We are to be enabled to give ourselves unto the ministry of the Word of God and to prayer. That is the best. But it doesn't always work that way. But every church ought to strive to do that. They ought to strive that their pastor would not have to work secularly. Your pastor's ministry is this church's first ministry. His ministry ought to be supported above the electric bill, the gas bill, and the trash bill. It ought to be supported further than a missionary or a pastor halfway around the world who doesn't even minister here. He is your first responsibility. And you have no business supporting another ministry on a consistent basis while he works a secular job. None at all. A church ought not to support, or rather they ought to support their pastor as much as they are able. And I have seen, and I believe it will happen here, that the more you walk by faith and trust the Lord, the more God will enable you to do for Him. I am a firm believer, not because I am a pastor, but because of what God's Word says, that you will never do too much for your pastor. You never will. He is laboring among you, and his ministry is to be supported. Your primary responsibility is taking care of him and the evangelistic work right here in Silsbee, Texas. This is your Jerusalem. And you are to start with evangelism in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. And in order to start in Jerusalem, you have to start with first supporting your pastor. And if you do that and you follow God's prescribed plan in the Word of God, I believe He will enable this church to do that. Then I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Fourthly, not only are you to receive the Word of God that He preaches, not only are you to follow Him and the leadership of the Lord through him, not only are you to support him, but fourthly, you're to support him. we just preached on, you're supposed to support them financially. Now, I'm going to teach and preach God's charge to support him in prayer. Someone says, well, which one's more important? They're all important. You should not shuck one for the other. They all need to be tended to. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, Paul writes, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I tell you, one of the problems that there's no peace is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is because they don't esteem their pastor.
That's right. Amen.
My father said that 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, esteem, not steam him. And so it is your responsibility to esteem him highly for the work's sake. Boy, that's a tremendous work. You've asked him to watch over your soul. I mean, our own military can't watch over your soul. Law enforcement can't watch over your soul. And yet we esteem them highly. How much more the pastor who watches over my soul? You are to support him with your prayers. You ought to support his wife with your prayers. You ought to pray for her, as was already mentioned, and thank you for that. You are to support him in lifting him up, even as Aaron and Hur lifted up the hands of Moses. Remember, as they were out battling the Amalekites, and there Moses lifted up his hands, and when his hands were heavy, and they came down. And when they came down, the Amalekites prevailed. But when Aaron and Hur set him on a rock, and they lifted up his hands, Joshua and the people prevailed. And as you lift up the hands of your pastor, this church will prevail. And when you don't pray for him, this church will not prevail. So you need to support him with your prayers. There ought not to be a day that goes by that you don't pray for him. And when you pray for him, pray for yourselves that you'll follow his leadership, that you'll submit to his rulership, that you'll be enabled to tend to the charge that God has given you, that you'll receive his word. Look in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. So it says, how do we pray for our pastor? In every way. But in particular, I'm sorry, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. I'm sorry, I'm going to get this right. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. There is not a genuine pastor who is interested in his people glorifying the pastor. But we are interested in that the word that we preach has free course in your life, that it accomplishes what God would have it to do, and that God and his word would be glorified, and that you and I together would be fashioned like unto the glorious image of Jesus Christ. That's our desire. And so you pray for grace to sustain him. Pray for God to use him and use this church. And then last of all, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm not going to reread it, but I read them in the questioning, the qualifications of a bishop. And we had questions about doctrinal things, about salvation, about church membership, about the end times. And I hope that you will never have to do this last one. But if he ever breaks the qualifications of a bishop, and if he ever goes haywire, as my dad said at my ordination, and departs from those truths, you have the obligation and duty to your head, Jesus Christ, to get him out of this pulpit. That is the charge that Christ has given this church. when he no longer is qualified to hold the office of a bishop, or when he departs from the truth of God's Word, as you all heard today, he is no longer fit to be here. And he should be removed. And that's a solemn thing to do, isn't it? It's a very serious thing to call one. It's a very serious thing to dismiss one. And you don't dismiss him because he preaches one sermon you didn't like.
That's right.
Or because he stepped on your toes. But you do it because he no longer meets God's requirements as a bishop. Or because he's departed from the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You have that duty. So these are the charges, and I'm sure there's more and others that maybe the Lord brought to your mind, or maybe some of these other men. But here's a good place to start. And if you do these things, if you follow those points, this church will grow spiritually. And your pastor will prosper spiritually. And you two will have a good career together. And we commit, as Brother Newell said in Acts, we commend you unto the hand of the Lord. Well, this is His hand. God says, here's what you ought to do. Don't go crying to the Lord if you won't do what you're supposed to. You need to follow what God's Word says as a church. Brother Newell.
Brother Haley, I appreciate the message. Brother Gary, would you please come at this time and lead the congregation in a hymn? You all stand up, please, and stretch your legs. We're going to have...